Reading Jeremiah chapter 8. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon, and all the hosts of heaven, whom they have loved, and whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered, nor be buried. They shall be for a dung upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Every one turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle, that's the turtle dove, and the crane, and the swallow, observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore, when I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that inherit them, for every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. And the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defence cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come, and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city, and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment have taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Well, I would like to draw our attention this morning to this chapter And the focus is going to be the last verse. Is there no balm in Gilead? Well, I'll just explain very briefly what that means. Gilead was just east of the Jordan, and it was a mountainous region of Israel, and it was divided between Reuben, Gad and Manasseh, three of the tribes of Israel. And it was known for its balm-bearing trees, that is, trees that produce a sort of sap. Sap comes from trees, and it is good for healing. And so the question here is being asked by the prophet, is there no balm in Gilead? Gilead, known for its balm, known for its healing properties, known right back, in fact, in the days of Joseph. If you'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 37, you will see it referred to. Because do you remember that Joseph was envied by his brothers after his dreams and his father's favoritism and giving him the multi-technicoloured dream coat that he wore? I borrow that from the musical. He had a multicoloured coat, didn't he? And it showed his favour, his father's favour, and his brothers hated him for it, and so they decided to kill him. They put him in a pit, but then this troop came, a troop of camels passed them by. They were Midianites, they were Ishmaelites, the company of Ishmaelites, verse 25. The company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh. So they were bringing balm from Gilead. So right back in those days, they knew, they were aware of these trees, these balm-bearing trees. It's a remarkable thing, isn't it? That we're here for such a short span, aren't we? Our 70 or 80 years is very short. When you compare it even with the trees, these trees, for years, for centuries, bearing this balm, this healing property. And Jeremiah is asking this question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healing in Gilead? Is there no physician? Is there no doctor there? We need to ask ourselves, why is Jeremiah asking this question? Why is he suddenly bringing up balm in Gilead? Well, the answer is, of course, it's a picture. He's painting a picture. It's like saying, aren't there any paracetamols in the medicine cupboard? People can't be healed of headaches if there's no paracetamol in the medicine cupboard, can they? I don't know. I know one person wasn't well on Friday, and you may have, all of us are unwell at times, aren't we? And if we've got colds, we like some Lemsip or something similar. And if we've got raging colds and you're sneezing, and someone's going to say, is that there's obviously no Lemsip in the cupboard because you're carrying on with your colds or your headache, your terrible headache. So is there no, as I said, is there no paracetamol in the cupboard? And Jeremiah's asking the same question. Is there no balm in Gilead? Because God's people were behaving as though they are ill, that they need medicine, but the medicine hasn't been applied to them because they are still ill. So plainly, either the medicine doesn't work, or there isn't any. And it is as if, Jeremiah is saying, there isn't any medicine. So what is it? What is this people's condition that makes Jeremiah cry out in desperation, is there no balm in Gilead? Well, we see back earlier on in this chapter that it's all about sin. Verse 3, and death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family. which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. It's an awful thing, isn't it? Could you imagine your relatives referring to your particular family as that evil family? It's a pretty unpleasant thought, isn't it? God is referring to the people of Israel as that evil family. They'll be destroyed. That's their problem. They were evil. And they weren't doing anything about their wickedness. Verse 4. Let's have a look at this. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, so God is speaking to prophet Jeremiah, moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? If you fall over, we've all fallen over, haven't we? What's the first thing you do if you fall over? Is you get up, don't you? And particularly if you fall over in the wrong kind of place. If you were crossing the road and you fell over, would you lie down in the road and not get up? I doubt it, because if you did, you'd be run over. But this is what Jeremiah is saying. This is the problem with this people, is that they were falling over. They were as if they had fallen over and they weren't getting up. And that's unnatural, isn't it? It's one thing not to be able to get up. It's another thing to choose, having tripped over, to stay on the ground. It's rather strange that people would behave in that way. But again, it's a picture of this people's state. Falling over is that they are out of the way. They have fallen over God's laws. They've tripped over his laws because they've disobeyed them. Having disobeyed them, they haven't returned to the Lord. They've continued in their sin. Shall he turn away and not return? It's exactly the same point being made. Shall he turn away from God's laws and not, once it's pointed out to him that he's turned away, turn back? You see, it's a natural thing. If you do go the wrong way, have you ever taken a wrong turn? I think we've all done it. I've certainly done it. You're either, these days, of course, one sat-nav is meant to point one in the right direction, but sometimes it takes you to completely the wrong place, either because you've entered the wrong place or because the sat-nav thinks you mean somewhere different. And there's a tendency to follow that sat-nav, isn't there? Even though you're beginning to wonder why you're not recognising the signposts. Maybe you're walking to a friend's house and you think you know the way, but as you keep walking, you find the unfamiliar streets and you think to yourself, I better stop and check where I am. I remember just on Friday, I was surprised to see in somebody's car a tattered copy of the A to Z. Now, A to Z may not mean very much to you, but for those of us who've lived in London for many years, A to Z is a road atlas of London. But we don't need those anymore because we've got our sat-navs, we've got our Google Maps, we've got our city, whatever it is, city mapper, to tell us how to get from A to B in London. But it's as if we don't consult. We pass these streets, we don't recognise them, we don't consult our A to Z to check if we're in the right place. We don't check our Google Maps or our city mapper or whatever else, whatever app we have that tells us how to get from A to B. We just carry on regardless, thinking, well, somehow if I keep walking, I'll get there eventually. It doesn't work, does it? You can't, once you're in the wrong way, by continuing in the wrong way, you can't miraculously find yourself in the right place. You need to turn back. You need to retrace your steps to where you know, where you're familiar, and start all over again. That's the only way to redeem your situation. But the Jews, who had turned away from the Lord, were breaking his commandments. But being disobedient, they would not turn back. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? Why are they slidden back? You can imagine people sliding back. Perhaps you're going up a slide. You try and climb up a slide. You've probably tried to do that in the park when you were younger. And as you climb up, it's quite steep. And you find you kept, unless you've got really good traction on your training shoes, you keep slipping down again, don't you? Especially if it was a water slide and you're in bare feet. You haven't got a hope, have you? You'll keep sliding back. And this is a picture of what the Jews were doing. They've slidden back. They don't just slide back and then try and get back to where they were. They slide back and keep sliding and keep sliding. They're on a dangerous precipice and they keep going down and they don't try and recover themselves. I hearkened and heard. Verse 5, I haven't finished it. They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. They take comfort in being deceitful, being dishonest. They follow dishonest ways. They won't give them up. And that's a terrible thought, isn't it? To find dishonesty, lying to people, being deceitful, deceiving people, making people think that you mean one thing when you mean another, benefiting from lying because people believe you, and then you take advantage of their deception because you've deceived them. They think you mean well when you mean evil. And there are people like that at school, aren't there? There are people who you think are being genuine, but they're not. They've got a crafty plan they're not telling you about. They're not people you want to live with, are they? And they're not people you want to be like, because it is against God's laws. I hearkened and heard, verse 6, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into battle. Again, it's another picture of the sinful condition of this people. They would not turn back from evil. Rather, you know how you might start? It's that slippery slope again. How a slippery slope, sort of, it's quite gentle at the beginning, and suddenly it gets steeper and steeper and steeper, and you've lost control. That's like running down a hill. Have you ever run down a hill, a steep hill, and you try and control yourself, and then the hill's so steep, you just have to run and run and run, and you've lost control. Well, this is a picture of the state of this people. They'd started breaking God's law, and then it became a headlong rush. But if you've got a sensitive conscience, when you begin to go the wrong way, then as soon as you realise, you turn back. But you don't carry on, do you? But this people carried on. They wouldn't return, and they became like a horse rushing into battle. And a horse that rushes into battle is so fired up that once it starts its gallop, it's not going to stop for anything. And so this sinful people have become so engaged in their sin that they keep on sinning, and their sin gets more and more serious, and they're like horses charging into battle. They get further and further into sin, and they won't listen to anybody. And I guess the question that we have to ask is, are we listening to the voice of our conscience when we do wrong? Are we listening to the voice of the Bible? See, verse 7 is another picture. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. And this picture is of migrating birds. You might think of turtles as those creatures that swim around in the sea. but they're not, it means turtle doves. Turtle doves migrate, swallows migrate. When I lived in the country, you know what they used to do? When the time of their migration came, they would all gather on the telephone lines above the house. And you'd get these flocks of birds. They were all sitting on the line next to each other. Why? Why would they be gathering? Because they knew the time to fly back to the Amazon or wherever it was that they came from had come. How did they know the time had come? Well, the change in the temperature, that it was getting colder. They knew they couldn't stay much longer in this country because they wouldn't survive the winter. They needed to take that long flight of thousands of miles, and that in itself is miraculous, back to South America, back to Africa, wherever it is that they spend their winters. And they gather because the time has come. But here we read of a people who, although they know that there is a time of judgment coming, they ignore it. And it's and that's a problem for us too, isn't it? The Bible tells us of a coming judgment. It is appointed unto a man once to die, and then the judgment. Life may seem as though it's going to go on forever. And when I was the age of our teenagers, I thought life would go on forever. Because you're young, you're starting life, and people like me seem to be old and be years before you get to my age. But when you get to my age, and I'm not the oldest here, you can't believe how quickly time's gone. Every year accelerates faster than the last year. And it is really as if we are on these horses charging to judgment. That's what life is like. We're flying to judgment. We don't. It's like a train steaming along with the buffers at the end. I remember, silly joke really, it was just, my mother overheard a lady at Hazelmere Station asking the guard, station master, does this train stop at Waterloo? Of course, you know Waterloo's the end of the line, and the answer was, well, you'll know all about it if it doesn't, madam. Because obviously that train's going to plough into the buffers if it doesn't stop at Waterloo, because that's the end of the line. Is there judgment after life? Is my life heading for judgment? The answer is yes, it is. Well, what will happen if I don't turn to the Lord Jesus? We'll know all about it. Judgment will come, and it will be too late. That's the lesson here, isn't it? It's a lesson for us Christians. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. It's a frightening thing when we live our lives blocking out the voice of our conscience and the voice of the Lord through his word. And one of the problems that these men of Israel had is that they had people telling them not to worry, giving them false assurances. Look at what we see in verse 11. Well, we just go back one verse, verse 10. Therefore, when I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them, for everyone, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness, to greediness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So the priests, the pastors, the people in the churches were giving a sort of false comfort to people. I suppose, actually, going back to the paracetamol analogy, it's a bit like the paracetamol, because if you've got a raging headache, a paracetamol will give you a little bit of relief for 2 hours, and then the raging headache comes back, and then you have to take more paracetamol until eventually the headache goes. Rather than taking a medicine that heals your headache in one go. A painkiller doesn't take away the cause of the disease, does it? And these pastors were not taking away the cause of the people's sickness. The cause of the people's sickness, which was their sin. They were saying, peace, peace, don't worry. There's no judgment. And there are people today who says, there's no heaven. Well, they talk about a heaven. There's no hell. Hell doesn't exist. We all just cease to exist when we die. And so, don't worry. You go away and you think, well, phew, I thought there was a judgment. I thought there was a hell, and I thought that sinners went there, but he's telling me there isn't, so I'm all right. Or someone tells you, no, it's all right, you can carry on living. Doesn't matter how you live your life, because God will forgive you, because your sins will be forgiven, because Jesus paid the price of your sin on the cross, and once you've turned to him, it doesn't matter how you live your life. So you think, phew, doesn't matter all the wrong things I know I'm doing, because the Lord Jesus will forgive me. I can carry on living like this. You see, that's a cheap salvation. That's a cheap grace. It's telling you that you don't have to do anything to be saved, but we do. We have to repent. We have to turn away from our sins. But friends, what we need to watch for is that we're not like these people. And you might think, of course I'm not like any of the people here. I'm not on a career course of sin. But what I have to ask us today is, why aren't you a Christian? Why are you continuing to resist the gospel? Because that's what these people were doing, isn't it? They just wouldn't listen to what they'd been told. Why is this people of Jerusalem slidden back? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. It's the same for us, isn't it? That if we continue without Christ, I'll come back to it another day. I'll come back to him another day. We're just like, we're like the swallow on that telephone line, aren't we? And all the other swallows fly off to the Amazon, and we're going to stay. Thank you very much. I'm very comfortable on my telephone line. I'm not going. Well, you know what's going to happen to you? The snows of winter are going to drive you to your grave. And the snares of sin is going to drive a sinner to hell. And that's why, returning to the theme verse, Jeremiah says in verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is the reason why you're still on your telephone line, as if you were a swallow, is the reason that you're still in your sin and rejecting the gospel? It must be because there's no medicine left in the cupboard. Is there? Is there really no balm in Gilead? Is there really no remedy from sin? Oh, the gospel says there is. That the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. And if you turn to John chapter 3, these very familiar verses. And we go to verse 14. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's talking about the brazen serpent in Numbers, in the book of Numbers. You see, God had sent serpents amongst the people, snakes amongst the people. They were lethal snakes, like cobras, and they would bite people and they'd die. So what Moses was told to do was to make a thing of brass, carve out a brazen serpent, just like these serpents that were biting the people, and to hold it up, hold this brazen serpent up. Whoever looked at this serpent, this bronze serpent, would live and not die. And so we read in John 3, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So the Son of Man, who was lifted up on the cross to pay for our sins, but just dying on the cross was one thing. Going back to our passage, the balm was in the cross, in the blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus. That's the medicine. How do we apply the medicine to ourselves? Look at verse 22. Is there no physician there? Is there no doctor there to tell us how this balm shall be applied? How is the blood of Christ applied? Is it applied to everybody automatically? If it is, none of us have to worry, do we? Because we're all going to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. John 3, verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The doctor has given his instructions. The doctor's instructions are, you've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to believe in the cross. You've got to believe that on the cross your sins were washed away. And verse 16 tells us, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he opened a way for sinners, and whoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Is there no balm in Gilead? The answer, it's a negative question, isn't it? Is there no balm? No, there is balm. There is balm in Gilead. Is there no physician there? Yes, there is a physician. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, and he has sent his Holy Spirit to earth to convince men of sin, righteousness, and the judgment to come. He's calling each one of us to believe on him. And so the choice that is left is, what will you do with that balm in Gilead? What will you do with the cross? There's only one way for that cross to help you. You must believe that on that cross the Lord Jesus died for your sins to forgive you. But if you repent, believe on him, and give your life to him, you will be saved. That's the balm. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why am I going to leave here, still not calling myself a Christian? Because I won't make that step. Why won't I make that step? We must ask ourselves. Is it because, really, we love our sin? Is it because we don't believe there is a judgment? Or is it just that I'm not really thinking about it? Well, these verses should encourage us to take stock of our lives. There is a judgment. There's a heaven and a hell. Heaven will be one for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the only one who can heal the human soul of the sickness of sin. So let us turn from our sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that that balm from Gilead would be applied to our souls today. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that that balm in Gilead, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross, might be applied to each one of us this day. Please work in each heart to turn us from our sin to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Our final hymn is number 266. I'm now going to hand over to Brother Ernie.